Good afternoon. And a very, very warm welcome indeed to church this afternoon, this Sunday. It's good to be together as God's family in his house to praise him on his day. It's so good to be together, and it's my privilege and my pleasure to welcome you in Jesus' name to this service. There will be teas and coffees following the service, so please don't rush away if you can. If you're able to stay, join us for a cuppa. And just a wee reminder, directly following the service, Roddy Rankin should be arriving any minute, and there will be a very short congregational meeting for the purpose of appointing local trustees for the Ardell Manse and the Glenelg Free Church building. So that's immediately following the service, and then we'll have our teas and coffees. So please do stay for that if you are able. Finlay is with us today. We welcome Finlay back. Thank you, Finlay, for coming and preaching for us. We look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid on your heart for us from Luke chapter 8. This evening there will be no service in Glenelg this evening at 6 p.m. But down in Killachan this evening, Morag MacLeod will be updating us on her work overseas at 6 p.m. in Killachan Church of Scotland. So everyone is welcome to attend or go along there if you should so wish. Next Sunday, we welcome back David Ferguson, who will be taking both of services in Inverinet and in Glenelg. And then the following Sunday, the 26th of May, Roddy Rankin has agreed to come down and lead us in the Sacrament of Holy Communion on that service, a 12 noon service in Inverinet. And that service will be followed by a congregational lunch, which Mary McRae is coordinating, so speak to Mary if you want to contribute in any way to that lunch. Please put that date in the diary. And without further ado, I will leave you to... Oh, yes, this plant sale. Fantastic total of over £740 raised for the Holiday Bible Club and the Youth Activity Week. A big thank you to everyone. It's a fantastic total. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your generosity. Thanks for your time. And that's it. Copies of the cool newsletter are available at the door. Please do pick one up. Finlay, sorry I kept you waiting.
That's all right. Very warm welcome to church, as Colin's already said. This is a good place for us to be, come together, to hear from God, to worship him together. Our whole lives should be worship of God, but this is a special time in the week that we come together to do that. To hear from him and to encourage one another as we run the race that's before us. We're going to be looking at a little bit of Jesus' life in the Gospel of Luke today. Part of the Gospel where Jesus is torn between different things and very busy. And we're going to be looking at how he handles that and how he serves God and his purposes in that. A psalm I quite often think when I'm busy and overwhelmed, Psalm 121, talking about lifting our eyes to the hills, which is so easy and wonderful to do around here. Lifting our eyes to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So we're going to start off our service this morning by singing that. That's in the blue books, in the second half of the blue books on page 416. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth have made. Did I say 60? 416. 416. In the blue books, second half, Psalm 121. And we're going to sing the whole of this psalm together.
My safety cometh from the Lord, who hath made me.
We're going to come to God in prayer now, but don't put your psalm books down. At the end of our prayer, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, which can now be found on the first page of your Psalter. So just keep that in front of you, and at the end, I'll invite us all to join in the Lord's Prayer together. Let's come before our Father in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning. For this place that we live in, for the hills that we can lift our eyes to. And they remind us of you, not any power in the hills themselves, but the power of the one who made the hills, the power of the one who made the heavens and the earth, the power of the one who formed us whilst we were still in our mother's womb, Lord. You knew us from the beginning, and everything that we have is from you. You are the maker of everything, Lord of heaven and earth. And you, Lord, are a good ruler. You are a good king. Your kingdom is one that is full of goodness, of joy, of hope, of life. Under your rule, there is order and peace and purpose, Lord. You are a good king, one who provides for his people, one who looks after us, one who does not sleep nor slumber, Lord. You see us, you watch over us, and you protect us. Lord, we thank you for you and for being such a good king. And Lord, we confess that we haven't always been obedient subjects to your rule, Lord. That we've seen fit to rebel against your good kingly rule, to go our own way, Lord, to think that we know better. And Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness that you have shown us, for the grace and love that you showed to us, even whilst we were rebelling against you, that you made a way for us to come back under your rule, God, under that good kingly rule. Thank you for that kingdom that you have brought in all of us, that we know you as our, not only our king, but our close friend and our heavenly Father. And you welcome anyone who wants to know you, who wants to come under your rule again, to have their sins washed away. Thank you for the work that you've done in us and in our hearts, Lord. And we ask that that would only be the beginning, that us, this group of people saved by your grace in this area, would be the beginning of many more coming to know you as their good King, to know you as their Heavenly Father. We ask that as we live our ordinary lives in this place, that you would use our everyday moments, our everyday conversations, and turn them to ones of eternal difference, Lord, that we would speak words from you, and that through us, that we would be channels of your Holy Spirit that would go out saving people, transforming lives, bringing hope and love and life to people in this area, Lord. We long to see you at work in Glenelg, in Arnisdale, in Inverina, in Rattigan, in Kintail, Lord, in Dorney, and in this country, in this world, Lord. We long to see you transforming lives. And we look forward to the day where you will make all things new. Our world isn't perfect. It's far from it, Lord, marred by sin. But we know that you have a plan to make all things new and to bring your kingdom completely. We long for that day, Lord. But whilst we're still here, give us the strength and the wisdom that we need. You've promised that you will provide for our every need. We ask that we would know that, that you would be our comforter, you would be our strength, you would be our everything, Lord. We ask for those that we know that aren't well, that are sick, that are struggling, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would show them your grace and your mercy. They would know your peace through everything, Lord. We know that you are our good Father. We come before you now together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing again. Oof, we're using our psalters a lot this morning. We're going to sing from Psalm 130 in the Sing Psalms this time. So that's in the first half of the book. And on page 173, our God is a God who hears us when we call to him. When we speak to him, he listens. This is a psalm of crying out from the depths. He forgives, he hears us, and he forgives us. And we wait patiently with hope and our confidence in him. Let's stand and sing Psalm 130 together on page 173.
Lord, from the Lord.
If you've got a Bible with you, open it up with me. We're going to be... Is my mic on? I can't remember if I switched it back on. I also can't remember if I switched it off before we started singing. How's about that? Hey, better. We're reading from Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, which... from verse 40, which is on page 1038 of the church Bibles. Luke chapter 8, and then reading from verse 40 down to the end of the chapter. So this is the life of Jesus. We believe this to be a true account of Jesus' life, a real man who existed on this earth around 2,000 years ago. But a man that we also believe from the witnesses that we have here and the witness that we can say in our own lives that this man was God. We're reading from verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Do not bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were waiting and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. We're going to be looking at that this morning, particularly on the woman who touched Jesus' cloak and on Jesus having so many demands on him and how he handles that. To the moment, if I can have all the young people, the boys and girls, come down and join me at the front. I've got the equipment for an excellent children's talk, which is a bag full of goodies. So I've got a glass jar here, and this
Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us, how much you love us, and how you have made a way for us to have a relationship with you, that you want to know us. I ask that you would help us to make time in our life for these important things, to know you and to serve you, and that everything else would just fit in around that, Lord, but that we would seek your kingdom first. I ask it in Jesus' name. Good job, boys and girls. Go and grab us what you want. We're singing Seek Ye First. You want to stay in the tree first. Very aptly, for seeking God's kingdom first, we're going to sing that. So that's if you have a bulletin. Grab a seat for a moment. On the back of your bulletin, this is one of my favourite songs. This is actually words directly from, I think they're all from Matthew's Gospel. So we're going to sing the first, we're going to sing each verse twice. So we'll sing it all together once, and then the men and anyone who's not sure of what you're doing, sing the verse again. And some of the women and people who know what they're doing will sing some lovely alleluias whilst we sing the verse again. So if you're not sure, just sing all the verses twice. If you are sure, sing the verse once and then do some alleluias. I invite Colin to try and lead us in that.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Boys and girls, you can head out to Sunday school now. Everyone else, if you've got a Bible, open it up in front of you to that passage in Luke chapter 8 that we're looking at. We're going to focus in initially on Jesus and look a little bit about how he juggles these two different ways that he's being pulled, and then we'll look at the woman who touched his cloak. I think one of the most popular responses when you ask someone how they're doing is, How are you doing?
Really, really good. Yes, good. Busy.
It's always that second, I'm doing good. Busy. We all seem to be busy. And when I was looking for something to preach on, I'd been working through 1 Timothy, hoping to be able to start a series in that, but I'm still unpicking it a bit. I was sort of searching the Gospels, where in Jesus' life can I focus in on? And I just had real resonance with this passage, with Jesus being torn. He's got Jairus' daughter that he wants to go and see, but this woman who comes and touches his cloak. Busy, torn. I just felt a real resonance with that. So I want us to sort of look a little bit at Jesus' response and how he juggles these two responsibilities, and how can we seek to serve God even when we feel a little bit busy, even when we're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. There's absolutely a time to cut things down in our life. Paul in 1 Thessalonians teaches us to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life. But it's not always possible. It's good for us to be serving God, and it's good for Jesus to be going to the house of Jairus and to be speaking to this woman. We put in, like I was saying with the young people, we put our important things in our life first. Quite often we can come too busy with all the little things that don't actually have matter. So easy in our day-to-day, week-to-week, to just be so consumed with the tasks that are important for that week and forget the purpose of our life, the calling God has on our life. But how do we seek to serve God even when we're busy and doing lots of different things? We see in the life of Jesus that he absolutely has disciplined time, that he seeks to go away from everyone, to seek his Father, to pray, to be alone. So we also must have these times. But even then, so often when Jesus tries to go and find a place that's nice and quiet that he can pray, the people, they come and find him. The tasks that people want him to do come and seek him even there. Let's look at Jesus' example. He's busy helping. He's busy healing different people. He's busy teaching. He's doing good and important things. And it's important for us to look at our own lives, to examine what are we investing our time in. What if someone were to look at all the different things you spend time on in your life that you invest, because time is a resource that we have, what are you investing your time in? And are you getting a good return on that investment? Are the things that you're investing your time in your life of value, of worthwhile? Do they last longer than the week? Or is there better things that we can be doing? Is there a better life that God's called us to? Purposes that he wants us to do that we're avoiding because we're so consumed with the little, unimportant, week-to-week things. But Jesus, he's busy with the right stuff. He's busy teaching, healing, helping. He's on a mission. He's on the way. Jairus has come to him, a ruler in the synagogue, and pleaded for him to come and see his daughter. So Jesus, right, yes, let's go and see your daughter. I don't want to put too much of my own sort of, oh, yes, character into Jesus, because I'm sure he wasn't like that. But Jairus has come and pleaded to him, come to my house and see my daughter who is dying. And Jesus has said, yes, I will go to your house and see your daughter that's dying. But he has an interruption. He stops. He senses that someone has touched him, that power has gone out of him, that this woman from the crowd has touched the edge of his cloak. He could very easily have been focused on the task at hand. He's getting to Jairus' house, the woman's been healed, he sensed the power's gone out of him. He could very easily just keep on going. He's promised Jairus that he's going to go to his house and help his daughter who's dying. He's focused on that. But yet, Jesus stops. He's seeking, where does God want me in this moment? Where is God at work? He's listening to the Holy Spirit, and he decides to stop and to make time for the woman. And it's quite difficult in our own lives. We can end up having awkward conversations that we maybe would choose to avoid. Maybe these are the conversations about God that God wants us to have. we could very easily be thinking, no, I just need to, the example I keep on coming back to is going to the co-op. How long does it take you to get through the co-op? Should we be stopping and speaking to people, or do we just need to get home with our shopping? What has God called us to this day? Both are valid answers, and it's important for us to be listening to the Spirit to see where God wants us to be, what conversations he wants us to have, what interruptions into our own daily life flow does he want us to seek, to make our plans, but to hold them lightly, and to be willing to lift our eyes to the hills, to see God and see his purpose for our life. Where does God want us to be? We see Jesus, he's willing to stop, to speak with the woman, to seek what God is doing in her life, to listen to her, and to share the blessing that he has. A very minor example of that was yesterday. I was very busy day in the cafe. I was covering Charlie, one of the young guys who works with us, who's got a cold. Cafe was fantastically busy, and there was lots of different things that I could choose to do, but I had this feeling that I should go and clear the tables outside. I went outside with my tray to go and clear the tables, and I got as far as the sort of entranceway to all the benches and saw that none of the tables really needed cleared. But I decided to go and have a conversation with Christina and Christoph. I got your names right. Thank you so much. And something they said got me talking about how we'd got to the shop and that we'd spent a week praying about it, and Christina picked up on that and said, what church do you go to? There's a very minor example, but just listening to the Spirit, being in step with the Spirit, seeing where does God want me to be in this moment? What conversations does he want me to have? It's a real privilege to have you guys with us. Thanks for coming. This is an unexpected adventure to our lives, to take our ordinary daily lives, our daily shopping trips, our daily hanging out the washing. Does God have extraordinary purposes for our life here in this place? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has called you to take his word and to change this community? We're called to something that matters, to something that has eternal consequences. And we have a gift that God has given us and called us to share with the people in our community. Because Jesus stopped. Maybe if Jesus hadn't stopped, this woman would have been healed and thought it was amazing, but would have doubted her own faith. But because Jesus stops and commends her for her faith, that gives her a solid basis. That wasn't something that she made up. That wasn't something that went on. Jesus stopped and had that conversation with her, and this woman's life was changed dramatically. Are we courageous, obedient, trusting enough of the God that's called us to live this life? Do we trust him enough to do it, to seek his kingdom first, above anything else that we've wanted for our own life? Do we want to seek his kingdom first? And there's a unique way that God has made every single one of us. Only God, only you can serve God in the specific way that God has created you to serve him. You might think that I'm not bold enough, that I'm not able enough, that I'm not very good at having conversations. But God has made you a specific way to reach the people and to impact the lives of the people he wants you to impact and change. And the best thing you can do is to embrace that, to embrace the way he's made you, and to seek to serve him, and to not be afraid, because God is with you. And he knows you, and he loves you, and he's got a plan and a purpose for you. The Great Commission in Matthew, where Jesus is sending out the disciples to go out, where is it? Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been in heaven and earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And what encouragement does Jesus give to the disciples immediately after that? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Why can we go out and take God's word and to make disciples of all nations? Because he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us and he knows us. He's made you exactly the way you are for a reason. He is our strength. And if what we believe is so important, if it is so life-changing, why wouldn't we share it? If this is the best news that we've ever heard, why wouldn't we want to tell all of our neighbors about it? If this is good, if this is life-changing, why aren't we sharing it? Maybe we don't see many people through the week. Maybe you don't see anyone through the week. What can you do then to put yourself in the way of people, to form a community around you, to be able to share this life-changing, amazing news? And we're all different, but we're all known and loved and have a purpose from a living God. What if your weekly trip to the co-op could be life-changing? What if your hanging out your washing during the week could bring someone eternal peace? What if your morning walk could bring someone hope beyond all hope? What if your lunchtime conversation at work could be truly life-changing for your colleagues? I commend you to seek God, to seek where he wants you to be courageous, to not be afraid. Again and again, we see that through the Old Testament, particularly in Joshua. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is with you, and he has a purpose. Even when we're busy, even when we feel torn between different things, to make our plans, but to hold them lightly, and to seek his kingdom first above all things. His kingdom is a good kingdom, and one day it will come everywhere. God has called us to share it now. And secondly, I'd like us to look with slightly more brevity, I think, at the woman. This woman who we're not told her name, but we are told a lot about her circumstances, presumably from the fact that she's spent a lot of money on doctors, that at one point she was a very wealthy woman, that she was healthy, that she was able to go to the temple, that she was able to worship, that she had a community. But we learn about this woman that for 12 years, that's a staggering length of time, that's almost half my lifetime, for 12 years this woman had been incredibly unwell, that she had been bleeding. And that she, over these 12 years, had spent all of her money on doctors. That she'd been sick. And a reality of the day that she lived in, that because she was bleeding, she was seen as unclean. So unable to go to the temple. So, and the temple was the only place they could worship God. So to be unclean constantly and unable to go to the temple meant that she couldn't go and worship God. And not only that, that she would be separated and excluded from her community because anyone who touched her would be seen to be unclean. So this woman that at one time would have been wealthy, healthy, worshipping with friends, has become poor and sick, excluded and lonely, hopeless and in desperate need. Having spent all of her money on doctors, followed all earthly wisdom, she was in need. She was hopeless. And this was once, or maybe still is, you and me. People we know in our area that have followed and spent money on different things in this life, on seeking success, on trying to fill our life with entertainment, with wealth, with health, with seeking after different relationships. We look for satisfaction in so many different ways. But we are like this woman in desperate need.
Maybe you see your need and see how much you were in need of a Savior. Hallelujah. That's a good place to be, to know that we need a Savior. Maybe you don't see it. Ask God to show you your need for a Savior. We are in need. We are hopeless. She is hopeless until she hears of this man walking around near her home, near where she was. This man called Jesus, who had done amazing things, who had done healings. And she determines that if she can just get close to this Jesus, if she can just touch the hem, is that what it's called? Hem of the cloak. She can touch the tassels on Jesus' cloak, that she will be healed. And she will be able to find hope and life without her suffering. And she will go from being unclean to being clean, from sick to being well. She touches the edge of Jesus' cloak, and these things do happen. She finds healing. She finds hope. She finds life. Her life is completely changed in that moment. She goes from being sick to being well. Completely transformed. And Jesus calls out, maybe not something she was expecting, because the crowds were crushing in around Jesus. She didn't think that her little touch of his garment would make any difference. But Jesus calls out, "Who touched me?" I would love to have been one of the disciples around Jesus at that point. The crowds crushing in from all angles, with being completely surrounded. I would have hated it at the same time, but being completely crushed by people on all sides. And Jesus says, "Who touched me?" What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's touching you. I think that's what Peter says, if not in this gospel, in Matthew or Mark. What do you mean, who touched you? Jesus says that he can sense that power had gone out from him. All these people around Jesus were just bumping into him. They were just having momentary contacts with him. But this woman reached out and touched Jesus. Maybe you've been coming to church your whole life. Maybe you've had lots of bumping in to Jesus. Have you reached out? Have you touched him? Have you had your life transformed by him? When we reach out to Jesus, Jesus changes us. He wants to know us. He wants to know you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you life, to show you love, to give you a hope and a purpose for your life. I take so much joy in knowing exactly, not the specifics, but the overarching purpose of my life in this place is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, to make him known and to know him. He gives us that purpose for our life, and it can be found in him and him alone. There is no other way. Have you been bumping into Jesus, or have you reached out and touched him? Have you had your life transformed by him? And what is it about her touching Jesus' cloak? Because it wasn't a magic garment. It wasn't a, invisibility cloak from Harry Potter. It was her faith, Jesus says in verse 48. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." It is her faith, her trust in Jesus, that has healed her. And we would look at this sort of weird kind of religion that she's made for herself, of the idea of Jesus' cloak having some sort of special power, that if she just reached out and touched Jesus' cloak, because that cloak belonged to Jesus, that she would be healed. So her faith is slightly questionable, we could say. But that's not important. What's important is, what is her faith in? Her faith is in the power of Jesus. Her faith is in the power of Jesus, and that is what matters. It doesn't matter on the strength of your faith, it just matters on whether your faith
is in Jesus. I remember Ken using this example so many different times. It doesn't matter how confident I am of the chair. Maybe I only have a little bit of faith. As long as my faith is in these well-made chairs that belong to a Brina Hall, I sit down on it and it sustains me. I had some misplaced faith yesterday when I put my faith in a metal table holding my weight to go up to the loft at the chocolate factory. The table was not strong enough for me. It doesn't matter how strong our faith is. My faith was misplaced and too strong for the strength of the table. But if your faith is in Jesus, he is dependable. He is able. He is much stronger. He is the only thing that we can build our lives on, the only thing firm enough. Jesus is powerful. And do you remember me saying that when any of her friends of this woman would have touched her because she was bleeding, they would have become unclean. She was unclean, and anyone who touched her would have become unclean. But we see the power of Jesus, it's reversed. The unclean woman comes, reaches out, and touches Jesus. And Jesus doesn't become unclean, the woman becomes clean. He is the only one who we are able to lay our sins on for him to save us, for him to heal us. An amazing thing happens in that moment. God promises to give us his Holy Spirit to live in us, part of himself, God living in us. Hard to get your head around, and I think we'll spend a lot of our lives getting our heads around it with no actual success in overall. But we believe it because that's what the Bible tells us, and we can testify that in our own lives, that we hear his voice, that God is leading us and guiding us, and when we walk in step with him, he shows us the way. He puts his Holy Spirit, part of himself, into us. Paul, in his letters, describes this as treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay in Jesus' time were just sort of disposable, not that important. Jar of clay, you would make the jar, use it a few times, and then throw it away. We are those jars of clay, but God has chosen to put his treasure, his Holy Spirit, in us to give us power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, because God has put his Holy Spirit in us, lives in us. And that is what is able to take our ordinary daily tasks and make them extraordinary, life-changing, hope-bringing. Come to Jesus, reach out and touch Jesus. I read these words from Matthew 11:28. This is a call of Jesus to you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we sang in our song, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Jesus is standing ready to answer that door. Ready to give us a purpose for our life, ready to take our ordinary daily lives and use them extraordinarily to change the lives of those around us in the same way that he has changed us. Because we're called to do these things doesn't make that we're any better than anyone else. In some ways the opposite, because we are the ones who realized what a desperate, hopeless state that we're in. He's called us to go out, to take this life-changing message. In the busyness of our daily lives, in the tasks that we're torn between, remember your call to the great adventure. Remember the good news that we have to share. And be bold. Don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you. Amen. We're going to finish
words on the back of the bulletin. I don't know how well all of you will know this hymn, but it's a nice, easy tune to pick up. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. He's able to wash us clean. We'll sing it. You sing the verse, and then we repeat that last lines. There is a fountain filled with blood. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath the flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Does that make sense? I'm choosing lots of complicated songs this morning. Let's stand and sing these words together. I'm going to invite Rowan to come and help me lead this one.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying feet rejoice to see the fountain in his day, and there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sin away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, your precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere sins by faith I saw the stream your flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God bless you.